last week or the week before, mentioned that the cast of Princess Bride was going to get together, go to Wisconsin, and do a fundraiser. They were going to do a reading of the script of the movie, Princess Bride, in efforts to keep Democrats in power there. And now the cast of Parks and Recreation, they're going to be reuniting to help Wisconsin Democrats stay in power. Now, just think about this for a moment. You are a citizen of Wisconsin. Maybe more specifically, a citizen of Kenosha. And you recently saw the business sector of your city burned to the ground. Some of which were minorities. One business that actually had Black Lives Matter on their marquee. Lives destroyed. You have high-profile individuals using their influence to raise money, not to help rebuild the city. Not to help those families that have no idea what they're going to do now, that their livelihoods have been destroyed. But instead, to try and keep in power the people who allowed it to happen. The Democratic mayor of Kenosha and the Democratic governor of Wisconsin. When Trump, he offered up federal assistance, at least in the beginning, the Democratic governor said no. And then when Trump wanted, and he did go there, in order to help bring attention to their plight, Democrats said no. And so you have these rich leftist celebrities that are going not to help raise money for the business owner or the citizens of Kenosha, but to try to keep the very people in power who presided over that destruction. Boy, at least they're looking out for the little guys, huh? Here's Don Luzader with the latest news update.
And good morning. Don't expect the tropical remnants of Hurricane Sally to have much of an impact on our rain chances here in the Ozarks this week. The National Weather Service says our slight rain chances tomorrow will actually come as a cold front moves through the area, with the best bet for rain down in south central Missouri. Investigators are trying to determine what started a fire that heavily damaged a duplex on Lark just off of Republic Road in Springfield. Fire crews say folks who live on both sides of that building were able to get out safely when the flames broke out Monday night. And starting today and going through Thursday, you can donate blood and help another cause. At the same time, the Unite Springfield Drive will benefit those affected by the shooting at a come-and-go store in East Springfield earlier this year that killed Officer Christopher Walsh and three others. The Community Blood Center of the Ozarks, which is hosting that drive, says people who donate will get a T-shirt. In addition, $5 will be given to a foundation supporting family members of the victims of that tragedy. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert forecast, sunny 83 for high today, mostly cloudy overnight tonight, low of 60 expected. A 30% chance we might see some showers tomorrow with a high of 83, and Thursday mostly sunny, a high of 80. It is 57 with a bit of a haze, otherwise some sun making its way through. Well, here's some possibly good news. Scientists at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine have isolated, say it's done, they've done this, have isolated the smallest biological molecule that completely and specifically neutralizes SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19. The antibody component is 10 times smaller than a full-sized antibody and has been used to create the drug AB8, shared in the report published by the researchers in the journal Cell yesterday. The journal is called Cell, C-E-L-L. The drug is seen as a potential preventative against SARS-CoV-2, which is what causes COVID-19. According to the report, the drug has been, quote, highly effective in preventing and treating the SARS-CoV-2 infections in mice and hamsters during tests. The drug also reportedly does not bind to human cells, which suggests it will not have negative side effects in people. Co-authors John Mellors, chief of the Division of Infectious Diseases at Pitt and UPMC, wrote, AB8 not only has potential as therapy for COVID-19, but it also could be used to keep people from getting SARS-CoV-2 infections. Antibodies of a larger size have worked against other infectious diseases and have been well tolerated, giving us hope that it could be an effective treatment for patients with COVID-19 and for protection of those who have never had the infection and are not immune. Another co-lead author of the study said researchers are thinking outside the box for how the drug could be administered, stating it may be able to be inhaled or through a superficial injection instead of an IV. According to the report, the team at University of Texas Medical Branch Center for Biodefense and Emerging Disease and Galveston National Laboratory test AB8 and found it blocked the virus from entering cells. In mice trials, those treated with AB8 had tenfold less of the amount of infectious virus compared to those who were untreated. So, sounds like good news. Now, of course, if Trump happens to mention this, then it'll all be a crock. There's yet another Democrat, this time North Carolina Democratic senator or senatorial candidate, who says that he would hesitate to take any sort of virus due to corruption under President Donald Trump. Now, what corruption is he talking about? This piece of work, Cal Cunningham, who is challenging Thom Tillis for his North Carolina seat, expressed doubt about the safety of a coronavirus vaccine manufactured under the Trump administration and said during a Sunday night debate between the candidates that he would be hesitant to take it. So what is the thought behind this? Again, do these people think Donald Trump is in the lab crafting some sort of vaccine? Now, I know these people cannot be that stupid. As often as Democrats do display the inability to use any sort of common sense or adhere to science or reality, I know that they cannot believe that Donald Trump is creating this himself. I mean, the absurd nature of this. It's like saying, have you seen the new Ford F-150 that they just developed this year? Well, I don't know if I'd drive it as long as Trump's president because, you know, anything that's developed while he's president, you can't trust. Well, let's look at the implications of this. And incidentally, because of the issue of vaccines themselves, to note, I'm one of these folks that believe that anytime you put anything in your body, there can be adverse effects. I'm not one of these folks that think, oh, you know, it's crazy if somebody gets a vaccine and they think that there are unintended side effects to it, or these parents that kids get vaccines and things go wrong and people say that they're nuts. And I mean, the idea that you put something in your body and that it's not going to have an adverse effect on anyone, for Pete's sake, you can't buy anything over the counter or watch an ad on television without all the warnings of the things that it could do as an adverse side effect. Vaccines are no different. But I also, you know, recognize that they seem to work in a positive way for a great deal of people, too. So I'm not one of these totally anti-vaccine or totally pro-vaccine. I'm a realist, in my opinion, when I look at, you know, vaccines. So all that being said, you have some of these Democrats Kamala Harris is another one out there saying, oh, I don't know if I'd take this vaccine. So let's say that there is a vaccine developed under the tenure of Trump as president of the United States. And it's a good one and an effective one. And there are people who listen to Democrats and don't take it, and they get COVID-19 and die. Are we going to hold them responsible for that? I mean, come on now. You have that ludicrous notion of that couple out there in Arizona who drank pond cleaner, even though they were hardcore Democrats who hated Trump, claiming that they did it because Trump told them to. And we had story after story after story about how Trump was responsible for that. So you're telling me having a bunch of Democrats running around warning people not to take vaccines, or at least saying, well, I wouldn't take it as long as Trump is president, and if it is an effective vaccine and people who don't take the vaccine get COVID and they die from it? Is Kamala Harris going to take responsibility for that? Is Cal Cunningham going to take responsibility for that? Is the media going to call them out? I think we all know the answer to those questions. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. YouTube has, of course, they're into the censoring game. We know this. And they've now censored a Stanford University-affiliated video featuring physician Scott Atlas because some of his assertions contradict the World Health Organization. Now, of course, we know the World Health Organization has been noted to change its positions on a number of different issues. But YouTube has decided that it is basically the ultimate authority when it comes to anything COVID or anything science. They have deemed it the anointed one. And so any scientist, no matter how well-versed they are, no matter what their pedigree is, their background, their level of intellect, it doesn't matter unless it is in line with the World Health Organization, which ultimately means, at least in the minds of the folks who run YouTube, we don't even need any more scientists. We got the World Health Organization. We need no more testing. We need no more theories. We certainly don't need any dissent. YouTube, according to The Blaze, has yanked down a video produced by Stanford University Hoover Institute featuring public health expert Dr. Scott Atlas because it contradicts the World Health Organization or a local health authority's medical information about COVID-19. Atlas is a physician who has received his medical degree from the prestigious University of Chicago School of Medicine. He serves as a special advisor to the president. Well, of course, there's the sin. And also a member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force. By all accounts, his opinions on the coronavirus is one of the country's foremost experts and an advisor to the president merit a public airing. However, YouTube disagrees. Now, when users attempt to load the video, which was first uploaded in June, an error message appears stating the video has been removed, quote, for violating YouTube's terms of service. A further explanation provided by YouTube states that the specific reasons the video violates those terms of service is that it, quote, contradicts the World Health Organization or local health authorities' medical information about COVID-19. I'm a guy that really reflects on how often people repeat history. And one of the many moments in history in which you had these controlling government authorities censoring scientists who had alternate theories was during the period of time of Copernicus and Galileo. These were individuals that dared to suggest through their studies that the Earth wasn't the center of the universe and that, among other things, the Earth traveled around the sun, not the other way around. And for these reasons, their findings were banned. There were scientists that were executed because they promoted some of these beliefs. Because at the time the church, which was the government, as the authority that was deemed to be the ultimate authority, no other scientific theories were allowed. And for a period of time, we looked back on that sort of behavior as one that we evolved from. One, we understood the implications of the fact that, well, gee whiz, what if those people are right? Even if their theories are not part of the consensus. But furthermore, that there is no intellectual evolution by suppressing people's theories. And here we are, right back at it again. And YouTube's not the only one. But in, you know, instead of the church slash government being ruled the ultimate authority, the World Health Organization is. And any scientists that come along, any modern day Copernicus or Galileo, who isn't parroting the consensus, their findings, their teachings, their thoughts are banned from public view, just like the writing of Copernicus. I mean, the left continues almost on a daily basis to prove itself more anti-science. To the point now, they've taken us back hundreds of years. To the days where we suppressed the unpopular, quote-unquote unpopular, the non-approved scientific thoughts and theories. So congratulations for taking us back centuries. I mean, boy, we just really need more of that, don't we? How can we not want a Biden-Harris administration to help solidify the rolling back of the clock centuries when it comes to science? I mean, once they get in there, we could just start just throwing some of these scientists in jail. Let's not just have the big tech corporations that are run by leftists block their teachings from being consumed. Let's not just continue to burn books in the digital format of today. Let's just go full-blown historical and go ahead and start throwing them in jail. Let's go burn them on the cross. I mean, the goal's the same. It is to quiet any dissent. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Well, Netflix, now, this isn't really on Netflix, but it doesn't help. And they're really doubling down, of course, on this right on the edge of child porn, and it's definitely the over-sexualization of kids. And no one can argue that that Cuties film is not going to be number one in the world of pedophiles. No one can argue. No one can say, oh, no, pedophiles will have no interest in this. Well, there's a story, Daily Wire. The FBI has raided the home of a Netflix star for allegedly soliciting sex from minors. Now, like I said, the only reason that this really has any sort of attachment to Netflix now is because of the Cuties controversy, but this really isn't anything on Netflix. However, this individual is also a surrogate for Vice President Joe Biden. The FBI has raided the home of Jerry Harris, the Netflix star who appeared in a video with Democrat presidential nominee Joe Biden, where he's encouraged young blacks to vote. The home was raided for allegedly soliciting sex from minors. I can't imagine why he supports old Joe. USA Today reporting the criminal investigation is based on allegations brought by 14-year-old twin brothers. In interviews with USA Today, the boys described a pattern of harassment both online and at cheer competitions that started when they were 13 and Harris was 19, and they said it continued for more than a year. Excuse me. Harris, a celebrity cheerleader who was recently featured in Netflix Cheer docuseries, appeared in a video with Biden earlier this summer. In a piece titled FBI Raid Homes of Netflix Star and Biden Surrogate Over Underage Sex Allegation, the Washington Free Beacon reported just 3 months ago the Biden campaign used Harris, who has over a million followers on Instagram, a part of Biden's push to sway young voters and win back the internet, Time magazine reported. The Instagram live video of Harris and Biden was viewed nearly 300,000 times and remains on social media. What do you know? Just seems so odd that somebody that would be drawn towards minors would be a supporter of Joe Biden. I guess birds of a feather, maybe. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Here's traffic. We've got a chance for you to win movie passes, and we are still not in a position to do our traditional private showings that we've always really enjoyed, but that doesn't mean that you can't go to the movies. We've got the B&B Theater ticket giveaway. Go to KSGF.com. You can do that this week and next. And enter to win yourself a pair of tickets. Among other movies, the new film Tenet. I don't know if you've seen the trailer for this. It looks like there's a lot riding on this film, and there's great anticipation as to, you know, hopes that it's going to be a huge blockbuster. But, you know, that's not the film you have to see. These tickets are good for any movie at any time, which that's the upside. In the past, we've done the private showings and the marquee suites, and that was a specific night and a specific movie. Well, this allows you to go anytime that you'd like to any of the movies that you'd like. To get registered for those, again, go to KSGF.com. Don Luzader with the latest news update.
And good morning. The Seymour School District has sent 15 elementary students home in order to stop the spread of the coronavirus in the school. The district reported an employee did test positive for COVID-19 on Friday. Contact tracing identified the people most likely to have contracted the virus were 15 kids in the fourth grade. Starting today through Thursday, you can donate blood and help another good cause at the same time. The Unite Springfield Drive will also benefit those affected by the shooting at the Come and Go in Springfield earlier this year that killed Officer Christopher Walsh and three other people. The Community Blood Center of the Ozarks is hosting that blood drive, and they say that folks who donate will get a T-shirt. In addition, $5 will be given to a foundation that supports family members of the victims. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements, always giving discounts to veterans, firefighters, police officers, and EMTs. Sunny, a high of 83 for today, clear, 64 low tonight. 30% chance of showers tomorrow with a high of 83. Thursday, mostly sunny, a high of 80. We got some sun, 57. The Washington Free Beacon is alleging that Missouri Democratic State Auditor Nicole Galloway used taxpayer funds to boost her gubernatorial campaign. This according to the legal complaint. According to the complaint filed by Liberty Alliance USA, Galloway directed state employees to draft, edit, and place an op-ed in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch that criticized Governor Mike Parson on abortion. Internal emails obtained by the group show that Galloway's taxpayer-funded press secretary, Stephanie Deirdrick, submitted the op-ed to the Post-Dispatch from her state email account during official work hours on May 31, 2019. Galloway's bid to unseat Parson was not officially launched at the time, but her campaign committee dispersed at least $7,000 to a Democratic firm for campaign management before submitting the op-ed. The spending came despite the fact that Galloway was elected state auditor just months prior and was not up for re-election until November 2022. The Post-Dispatch ran Galloway's op-ed attacking Parson on June 3, 2019, calling Parson's position on abortion extreme and cruel. Yeah, I know, no, he's not the one who supports it. The extreme, this is, in the mind of Nicole Galloway, it is extreme and cruel not to support killing unborn babies. Can you imagine that moral barometer, that compass there? That thing's got to be just spinning all the time. Under Missouri law, public funds may not be used to advocate, support, or oppose any candidate for public office. The complaint argues that the issue of abortion is expressly outside the constitutional duties of the state auditor, meaning Galloway used, according to the complaint, state tax dollars to communicate her views on non-office related priorities in clear violation of the law. Galloway's office did not, at the time of this Free Beacon piece, return a request for comment. The Post-Dispatch also questioned Galloway's use of state resources to submit the op-ed, calling it a personal political mission in its own September 2nd editorial. And obviously, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch is not Parson friendly. Well, let me tell you why this is concerning locally. Obviously, it's just a concern anyhow, right? You are not supposed to, as an elected official, have people who work for you on the clock participate in a political activity. Now, one of the reasons that this is very concerning, these allegations, that this is the sort of thing that, according to the allegations, Nicole Galloway is fine with, This is what her office is supposed to be investigating, Bob Certain in Greene County, on this very thing. You remember? The allegations against Bob Certain was that he was asking, and in some cases having, employees on work time, a.k.a. taxpayer dollars, campaign for that tax increase. And there were emails that would be released that, you know, that showed where there was some pushback and some employees saying, I cannot, this is not legal. I can't do this. In which his response was, well, do it on your own time then, you know, sort of thing. So the very thing as auditor she is supposed to be investigating in Greene County is the very thing she herself, according to this complaint, has done. Now, I don't know about you, but any hope that that investigation is going to be an honest one is thrown out the window for me. Now, I can't say that it won't be, but if she herself is someone who commits these same violations, I don't know how quick she's going to be to find that someone else did it. It could go the other way. She could try and use the Greene County investigation to sort of like John McCain did with campaign finance stuff. You know, he got caught up in the Keating 5 scandal. It was a campaign finance scandal. So what does he do? He goes out and becomes a champion of campaign finance laws, you know. So it could go the other way. She could come out really with a tough report. Now, some of you may be, I thought she already did an audit. Unless I'm mistaken on this, when it comes to Greene County, the audit she did was financial. That audit regarding the improper use of taxpayer dollars and employees, which she's alleged to have done, by Bob Certain in Greene County. I don't believe that one is wrapped up. And who knows, maybe it has now that we see how she apparently operates as well. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. A little bit after 11, top of the hour, KSGF, 104.1 specifically, FM signal is going to be off the air for a period of time. You can still catch us streaming. Those of you who have listened for some time know that KSGF has just been plagued with technical problems. And as often is the case, you know, you start at this and you think, well, this is the problem. And then it turns out to be something else. And so you've got to slowly try and trace to the source of the problem. And you know, every 6 months or so, it seems that we're just off air or we lose power. We're down power, as I understand it now. And it is just because of some components to the transmitter that are getting blown. And so it's believed they've pinpointed why that is occurring. It is also believed that really the only at this point remedy for a true fix is to get a new transmitter. But there is hope. In the meantime, there can be a temporary fix just, you know, until we get it fully new transmitter. That's right now my understanding, and these things, of course, can change. All that being said, one of the steps in order to, figure out what next step we can take in order to at least temporarily remedy this is going to require the FM transmitter to be shut down for maybe an hour, could be even longer today. So just a heads up on that. Want to make sure you understand what's going on with it and why, as best as I know. But like I said, you can still listen online, and I don't think this will affect our AM, the 1260 AM, so you should also be able to grab us over there, which I know a lot of people don't even know that we have the AM. We only identify it at the top of the hour during what is called the legal ID, and that is a requirement by the government that once an hour, within sort of the same period of time in the hour, you have to identify where it is that your, you know, transmitter locations are, and that's where we do identify that 1260. So that you ought to be able to hear the station there too. Just giving you a little bit of background here. Instead of saying, by the way, we'll be off the air, I just want to let you know as best as possible why. That is, Jake Tapper has got himself into a little bit of trouble, and This is one of those scenarios where he keeps digging. So there were reports that were coming out. Jake Tapper of CNN had been advising a Republican congressional candidate by the name of Sean Parnell to not run in one particular district, but to run in another. This is in western Pennsylvania. It's a House seat. And according to the reports, Tapper tried to convince Parnell not to run against this incumbent Democrat by the name of Connor Lamb last year, suggesting instead that he'd be better off running in a safer district for Republicans. Now, there's a couple different ways to look at this. One, that for whatever reason, Democrat Jake Tapper is really looking out for the best interest of this U.S. Army combat veteran who's running for Congress and saying, hey, you know, you ought to run over here. You have a much easier time. Or he could be trying to protect the Democrat incumbent, Connor Lamb, because he thinks that Parnell would have a good chance of unseating him, and that could help move the needle towards Republicans regaining the House. The latter of those two seems to me to be more in line with what Jake Tapper would personally like to see. Now, what happened was these rumors were out there and they were being reported on. Jake Tapper denied it. Well, then text messages back and forth or messaging back and forth, whatever form it was done, I forget, in which Jake Tapper is doing just that, which he denied. They were direct Twitter messages. That was the form. Fox News obtained the direct messages. So then Tapper, this is a situation where it went from denying it to, well, all of a sudden there's proof that it happened. Fox News is now reporting that while Tapper has remained silent on the story publicly, he has apparently been working the phones behind the scenes. Calls from Tapper to Parnell have come multiple times since the story broke, a source close to Parnell told Fox News. The source said, I was with Sean the day one of these stories broke. Tapper was blowing up his phone like an obsessed lunatic. Everyone knew it. By the end of the day, every time Sean's phone rang or beeped, half a dozen people would roll their eyes, turn to Sean, and ask Tapper. Tapper has also reached out to people close to Parnell, including political allies, attempting to get the Parnell campaign to issue a joint statement downplaying the CNN anchor's actions. Isn't that an appropriate word to use? CNN has not immediately responded to requests for comment. Now, I think that this, let me tell you, this is not uncommon. It is not uncommon for people that are supposed to be straight news journalists to give advice. And I'll tell you what, some of the reason, honestly, isn't so much that they have an interest in swaying things one way or another, although ultimately they clearly support Democrats. They are Democrats. But there's an arrogance there. There's an ego. And they just feel like they are high and mighty in these towers, and that dispensing advice to people as to what office they ought to run and not run, it makes them feel very important because it's an opportunity for them to demonstrate what a firm grasp they have on politics in this country. And they're these wise individuals that see and know everything. And so a lot of it's just stroking their own ego. I suspect this happens a great deal more than people think that it does. In fact, this is to a degree what also CNN, I think it was Brian, or no, Tucker Carlson gave an example of this. Is the head of one of the networks talking to Cohen and talking about, well, here's what Trump should do and here's what Trump shouldn't do and, you know, that sort of thing. It's an ego boost for them to be giving this advice to people who will listen. And so I'm sure for Jake Tapper, it was probably a lot of the same. But man, whenever it gets out there, Breitbart, I believe, was the first one that reported this was happening to try and double down and say it's not true. And then, of course, you got the the proof that it did happen, and now trying to get Parnell's now the report's coming out, you're trying to get Parnell's campaign to come out and say, no, it didn't happen. That does not look good. I mean, you know, number one, to lie and get caught, but then try to get people to join your lie in order to cover up the getting caught part, pretty bad. Pretty, pretty bad. So Jake will probably get a promotion at CNN. Springfield's Talk is 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Don Carricker, IWantAGreatHomeLoan.com. You ought to bookmark that page. Save it. Even if you're not looking for a home loan right now, there are other resources there that you can tap into. Also, you'll have Don Carricker's contact information. You know, he's still got a number of parcels of land out there that he had purchased some time ago. It's beautiful. It's as Ozarks land as it can get. Just a couple miles south of 60 in Rogersville, just before you get to Fordland. And you know, maybe you have an interest in it. Not even going to build on it right now, but you just want to go ahead and purchase that land, have it so that in the future you will have a place to go and build, maybe when it's retirement or whatever. You know, who am I to tell you? So IWantAGreatHomeLoan.com is a great resource. And, of course, anytime you have any questions, is this a good time for me to refinance or is this a good time for me to buy instead of rent? Those interest rates still are just incredibly and historically low. It may be the right time for you. That's information that Don Carricker can, you know, provide you based on your current situation, and then you can make the decision for yourself. IWantAGreatHomeLoan.com because you do. It's flown under the radar to some degree, but still gotten a little bit of attention. Adam Schiff has claimed that he's got some new whistleblower in Russia, Russia, Russia. Some of the accusations. Per the original write-up, a senior Department of Homeland Security official alleges he was told to stop providing intelligence analysis on the threat of Russian interference in the 2020 election, in part because it made the president look bad, an instruction he believed would jeopardize national security. The official, Brian Murphy, who until recently was in charge of intelligence and analysts at DHS, said in a whistleblower complaint that on two occasions he was told to stand down on reporting about the Russian threat. So this is a guy, Brian Murphy, used to be in the administration, now he's not. He's claiming, you know, I was told not to talk about this threat of Russia interfering in the election in 2020 by the Trump people and by Trump because it was going to make Trump look bad. I was told to keep my mouth shut. New documents, blown that to smithereens. CBS News' Catherine Herridge. You know, when I first saw CBS News, I thought, what? And then I got to Catherine Herridge. I was like, oh, that makes sense. Because she is one of the absolute best when it comes to reporting new information. She has been, you know, investigating this, and she's found and she revealed this in tweets, breaking: whistleblower CBS News has obtained the DHS response to Chairman Schiff's House intelligence, includes whistleblower complaint from former acting Undersecretary for Intelligence and analyst Brian Murphy. Why it matters, she writes, DHS tells House committee emails between Murphy and his colleagues are in direct contradiction to his public claims now. Key section, page 2, quote, in this production, you will find an email from Mr. Murphy to other Democrat employees on July 25th of 2020 stating, quote, the acting secretary has never given me any direction on what to do regarding threats. The same applies to the acting deputy secretary. This email, which is in direct contradiction to Murphy's claims in the OIG complaint, and part of a long thread, and is being provided for further context as responsive to committee's request in Portland investigation. So, in other words, Adam Schiff's latest whistleblower, who, according to the whistleblower complaint, was saying he was told to keep his mouth shut on this stuff, despite the fact that there are all sorts of internal emails where he's talking about how he hasn't been instructed one way or another what to do on it. Thank goodness for somebody like Catherine Herridge. We need whistleblowers for the whistleblowers any longer, don't we? All right, just a reminder again, we're going to be off air starting a little bit into the 11 o'clock hour. Some maintenance issues. That is the FM signal, so you can still listen to us online, ksgf.com. Stream us there. It's probably the easiest place, actually, to do that. In the meantime, Glenn Beck is coming up next. I will talk to you tomorrow. I'm Nick Reed on Springfield's Talk 104.1.